Oftentimes, diaspora dream about returning to where they came from. They picture their displacement as this temporary thing. It's a motivator to keep working hard, to keep up with the news, tell stories, preserve language. In this episode of Generation Removed, we're going to explore this idea of returning home and two kinds of barriers that make it impossible. I'm Larissa Sebrick, and this is Episode 3, The Myth of Return. Part of being diasporic is living within memories of a distant past, a homeland. The more generations removed you are, the more distant and abstract that heritage land becomes. The diaspora with memories of their homeland, or who are closer to people who tell stories that they actually remember of the homeland, the more they have an image in their mind. That image drives what is called the myth of return. It means you keep up with your heritage out of the belief that you can come home to it. I've never been to Ukraine. My dad went once to take his dad. Neither of them had been before. As time passes, so do memories, despite all of our efforts. Bashar is a 57-year-old Palestinian man who I found on a Palestinians in Canada Facebook group. Like many, he's unable to return to visit the place his parents grew up. He had been once when he was 16 years old. Now, after growing up in Jordan, living in Qatar, and with 7 years in Canada and 3 children, he worries that when he does go back, he'll be seen as being westernized. He wonders if everything he's told his kids about their homeland will be exactly how they see it.
And what's sad is that sometimes I feel like with every generation that comes, you lose part of that culture or of that interest, because maybe the first generation, when they reacted with their surroundings or what's going on there, it's totally different. The second generation, it starts to, you know, I don't want to say to lose effect, but, you know, with every generation, because they are not there anymore. So it's hard to maintain such connections, actually.
Bashar's comments remind me of a line I read. It's from a book called The Go-Between by L.P. Hartley. The past is a foreign country. They do things differently there. No matter how much we as diaspora try to hold on to our heritage, the nature of our culture, practices, traditions, those have already been shaped by the nature of leaving, of adapting. Meanwhile, the piece of the homeland that's frozen in time, it's not actually frozen. It also changes over the years with wars and technology. Those days that we think we remember, those days passed down through our great-grandparents' stories, those are also gone by. For Bashar, this means he might not even feel like he belongs in Jordan anymore, that place where he spent so much of his childhood. And again, there's that line. The past is a foreign country. They do things differently there.
And when we go and we visit, Jordan, for example, yeah, even though you see all your relatives, your friends, but you still feel like, you know, no, my home is back in Canada now. It's not there. So it's a different feeling, because it's like having your heart being split equally. Sometimes you think about the people over there, but you still say, nah, but this is my new home now. So it's a difficult feeling, actually.
With Bashar, I really wanted to know if he felt he needed to return to Palestine, if it called his name, if it still feels like home.
Just a comment is that normally, immigrants like us, when we move from one country to another, regardless of how we were, let's say, displaced, we always have this conflict inside, is that what I'm doing here? Am I in the right place? Why did I leave? So you have always this conflict ongoing, is that maybe I need to go back home. Okay, I'm fine now. I came back to Canada. I have the passport now. I'm Canadian. My kids are here. But do I want to stay here forever, or do I want to go back? So we always have this conflict of, okay, what's next, you know?
Is it kind of a feeling of where do I actually belong, or is it just kind of a longing for this idea of home?
Well, actually, it's not a matter of belonging. It's a matter where you feel you are happy, you're comfortable, where your kids are, you know, where your friends are. I mean, these days, home is not only where you were born. Home is where you're happy. you know, where you have your kids and family. This is what home means to me these days.
It's one thing to be cut off from your culture because of physical conflict, but there's another type of barrier to this mythological return home that I came across. And not from someone who's first generation, or even has core memories or strong ties to her heritage, but she still feels that ache to return, and that there's a barrier to achieving it. My friend Megan is a journalist I met while working at Cabin Radio in Yellowknife. She's Hungarian and Ukrainian, but she feels more strongly about her Hungarian side, although she's never lived in Hungary, and she's fourth generation, like me. But here's the thing about Megan. Megan is queer. And in 2021, Hungary passed legislation that some have likened to Russia's now famous law against gay propaganda.
With all of this going on in Hungary, which is where I feel I come from most of the time, it's a weird feeling of like the place that who I am and where I come from thinks that it's not that, like, they'll recognize us in the sense that we can be in same-sex relationships, but other than that, we're invisible to the law and in terms of politics and whatnot. And I think it's really hard to kind of, it's hard to feel safe going there. It's hard to feel safe, or it's hard to feel accepted. I feel like it strengthens the disconnect that I feel to the place already, because it's like I don't entirely know all of the traditions and like all the cultural stuff and whatnot. And then there's this big thing that makes me feel like I can't learn it.
The loss of her grandma had already severed the connection Megan felt to Hungary and the few standing Hungarian traditions that she did practice. Now, with these new laws, even if Megan wanted to belong in Hungary, to return to that imagined home, she feels as though she can't, simply because of who she is as a person.
And like, it's hard when it's not something that you can just change. Like, it's like who you fundamentally are as a person. And they make these decisions thinking that like it's a choice that we make. And so it just makes me feel further away from this place that has always seemed far. And now it feels even further, if that makes sense.
It does.
Like, to this day, my grandma was the most accepting, most welcoming person that like I've ever met. And everybody knew her as that. And she kind of represented Hungary for me, you know? And so I always saw Hungary as like this really accepting place. I could get citizenship because she had to give hers up during a time of conflict and all of that. But it's like, do I want to belong somewhere that doesn't accept me? And so I think it kind of...
These were two striking differences in returning to the homeland. One person who can't because of conflict, and the other who can't because of acceptance. And acceptance is something Ben, remember Ben? He had some things to say about it.
But it's just the more I think about identity, you know, the more complicated it gets. And also depends on how different communities talk about identity, right? Because some people, there's the thinking about identity in terms of just blood ancestry. And then there's also other communities that talk about identity in terms of like a kinship community or kinship identity. And sometimes it's about just like, does the community claim you regardless of your blood ancestry or whatnot? So yeah, this whole idea of identity is just, it's very complicated. And sometimes it's...
By the way, Ben's a hand talker, just in case you were wondering.
From particular culture and is queer. And maybe there's a particular perspective from that community that like the queerness isn't a thing in their community. Right, then the community might say, well, you're not like us. Mm-hmm. Then that becomes a more systemic issue, endemic within the community.
Although the Ukrainian girl in Poland had scoffed and told me that I wasn't Ukrainian, I figure she was maybe a one-off. I know that one day I can go see the places my family came from. I know that I'm many generations removed, and it seems to be that identity is complicated. Sometimes it's even an act of choice. But despite the myth of return, the desire to belong to your past, the separation, the worries, maybe even the guilt, there's a larger notion that came out across several of my interviews. And that was that while knowing where you come from can be really important if you want it to be, what's most important is that at the end of the day, we are all humans. We all have bloodlines, heritages, hope, fears, love, families. We all bleed red.
They may not think like me, but no matter what, we have something in common. All humans do. In the end, we're all human. We're all earthlings. We're all, you know, here.
We are humans, end of the day, regardless of your background, your religion. We are humans, so we have to...
our culture and retain it, but you also have to understand other people's culture, and that makes for people to get along. I think
so. Maybe it's nice to relate to your heritage, to feel like you belong, like you understand who you are by where you came from. And there's one more quote that I want to share. It's from a book called Return by Kamal Al-Sulaili. He's the director of the journalism school at my university. I find his words somehow just tie things up for me. No matter where we come from, we all find ourselves at some point in our lives with an innate drive to return. We may have grown up in a country or in a culture or as descendants of a culture from outside of our now native country, but we all find our lives painted with the colors of our past, of our ancestry, of our culture. After talking with so many people, I do think I realize that it's okay that I'm not glued to my TV and that I don't really have to feel anything about it. And maybe one day I'll go to Ukraine and I'll find some tie that clicks and makes me think, ah, that's who I am. And don't get me wrong, I do feel bad that people are hurting. War is awful. But if I'm honest, this is not my war. And maybe I really am just a generation removed. I'm Larissa Sebrick. Generation Removed is part of my final research project for my Masters of Journalism at the University of British Columbia. I want to say a huge thank you to my supervisors, Catherine Gretzinger and Chris Tenov, for bringing this project to life. I'd also like to thank every single person who offered to or sat down to interview with me. You all wanted to share your stories and little pieces of who you were, things that were important to you, that were hard to talk about, and that were close to your heart. So a big thank you, and thanks for listening.